pray it, and he can answer it. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. God will put the prayer in your heart to pray so that he can answer it. Goes into the hearts of the people, doesn't return void, it produces results. Is everybody happy today? Let's all smile. Ready? Yes. Okay, we're going to talk today about when heaven speaks. Now, I'm going to just read something that my son-in-law, my anointed, intelligent, precious son-in-law, did for me. He did some Google ads for me for the ministry. I don't know how he does it, but he does it, and I just let him do his job. And the other day, he told me, he said, in the Google ads, there were two things that came up that people wanted to know. I said, well, what were they? He said, the first one was 5 ways to deepen your relationship with God. And well, I thought that was interesting because that's the cornerstone of what we do. And then he said, number two, 7 ways to hear God's voice. So I thought that was interesting because I already had a witness and an unction to share. The title I have today is When Heaven Speaks. By way of opening, and I'm going to share 2 texts, and then we're going to share a story. It says here in John 16, 12 through 14, Jesus said, I have much more to say to you. I want you to receive my message today as a prophetic message. Margie, what's a prophetic message? God is speaking to you through me. What does that mean? It means, listen to me now, you've got to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to you when I speak. Some things are better taught or caught than taught. And I know that there's a spirit of wisdom and revelation hovering over this auditorium today. And each and every one of you, God is going to speak to you about a particular thing that you need direction on. What I love about God is he's a very personal God. He knows how many hairs you have on your head. He knows everything about you, and he knows what you're thinking. He knows what you're praying about, and he knows what you need. So when I share, I want you to do what I teach my Bible school students. Look on the inside. We're in an environment where the Holy Spirit is active, and therefore, if you look on the inside, you can hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say to you. So he says here, I have much more to say to you. See, I'm stuck here on that. I have much more to say to you, but some of us are too busy. We're too distracted. We're running around. And it's important that we abide in the Spirit, abide in God, look on the inside, abide in a place of quietness so that we can hear what he has to say, because here it is. His plans for you are plans to prosper you, not harm you, to give you a hope in the future, bring you into new levels, bring you into new business, bring a relationship into your life, whatever it is he's saying to you. But we've got to be still and know that he's God and get quiet and really start honing in on what God is saying to us. I have many more things to say to you, but many of us are distracted. I get like that. How many of you moms know what I'm talking about? You know, the kids, the this, the that. It's like the food. What about the food? The ice cream, the cake, you know, the candles. Like, it's just like we have so many things. The Bible says the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lusts of other things, if we're not careful, they enter in and they choke our ability to hear from God. So he says, I have much more to say to you, so much more. Is it bad, Margie? It's all good. We serve a good God. He's not out there with a stick trying to hammer you over the head and hurt you. He wants you to make your way prosperous, and he wants you to have good success. It's some good things he wants to say to you, but you said that you didn't want to do it, and God was on your back about it. Listen, if I don't obey God, I don't do what God's called me to do, I am not going to be happy. You got to understand that. I was not born to knit. I would be severely bored. So he knows the plans he has. He knows what you have on the inside of you. And he wants to draw it out. But some of you have so many things, so many distractions. Let's be still today and know that he is God. So can we get past the first sentence? It's not even a sentence. It's half a sentence. I have many things to say to you, more than you can now bear. Now he's speaking to his disciples. But when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of his own. He will speak whatever he hears. He will tell you what is to come. He will glorify me. Because it is from me he will receive, and he will make it known to you. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and the voice of a stranger you will not follow. I'm going to tell you, there's something about this church. There is so much love that the Father has for you. When I walked in today, I could feel it. I could feel his heart. I could feel his love for you. And he is your Father. And you hear his voice. You're his sheep. But Margie, I've only been saved a few months. You can develop a listening ear. But all in all, on the inside of you, how many of you have a conscience? As a born-again believer, your conscience can be your guide. My sheep hear my voice, and the voice of another they will not follow. Now, let me just say it like this. Anything that pounds you and sits on you and pressures you and pushes on you, that is not of God. The Holy Spirit is a beautiful Holy Spirit, and he is a gentleman, and he's on the inside. He's sensitive and beautiful and loving, and he rises up, and he is a perfect gentleman. He will never push you, never drive you, never pressure you. When you feel pressure and you feel that controlling, you feel that now. You got to, what I do, I take a step back, put my hand on my hip, and I say, I'm not moving. Amen. You got to be still and know that he is God, and he will lead you, and he will guide you by his Spirit. You will be led forth with peace. The Bible says, the mountains and the hills will break forth before you into singing, and the trees of the field, they'll clap their hands. It's the peace of God that passes all understanding that will lead, guide, and direct you. If you're being pushed and shoved and you have fear, anxiety, and worry, that is not from God. You are in the world, but you are not of the world. It is the thief that operates in the outer worlds. And his mission is to kill, steal, and destroy. So whenever you feel an outside pressure, an outside anxiety, worry, pushy, take a step back and say no. Wait on the Lord. The Bible says, wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself in any way. Wait on the Lord. Wait on him until you know that you know that you know that you have peace about a decision. Just letting it sink in, because you know what you're doing? You're thinking. And you're listening. Why are you thinking and why are you listening? Because you're in an environment that God can speak. Why? Because there's an anointing here. But what do you do when you go outside these four walls? You practice what I'm going to share with you. Now, let me give you a quick testimony. There's different ways God speaks. We're only going to highlight three. But as I share from my experience, if that's okay, you're going to find that he speaks in all kinds of different ways. We're just not always hearing him. When I was a little girl, I don't know how old, maybe three, I always hungered and thirsted after God. I wanted God. I wanted to see God's face. I was close to God. I would talk to God. Everything was God, God, God. It was God. Personally, I believe that before I was ever formed in my mother's womb, God knew me. That I came from the heart of God, and when I was born into the earth, I was born already connected to him. And on the inside of every child, there's a desire to know him, to be close to him, to become deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving the wonders of his person. We just want to maintain that connection, but now we're in the world and there's all these other things going on. So as a little girl, I just used to go in my backyard, and I used to sit in a tree stump in my backyard, and I used to look up into the sky, and I wanted to see God's face. I didn't know I was being unconsciously led by the Spirit of God, whose ministry is to point to Jesus and to keep our relationship fresh with Jesus. I didn't know that as a little girl, the Holy Spirit was working in me both to will and to do of his good pleasure, and that I was already walking in my destiny, and that is to be a woman of prayer and ultimately to teach people what he taught me, and that is how to pray. You got to watch your kids. Your kids as children, they can be acting out their destinies unconsciously because it's already on the inside of them. Eternity is on the inside of them. A little nugget of wisdom. Thank you very much.
The Lord spoke to me one day. He said, Margie, many of my people desire to be intimate with me. They desire to spend time with me. They desire to have a vibrant prayer life, but they just don't know where to begin. They just don't know how to start. So I wrote this book with that in mind. Encountering God Through Prayer, Simple Strategies to Develop a Powerful Prayer Life. I take the reader from the very basics. Begin where you are. Begin with 15 minutes. Find a quiet place in your house. Go into a closet if you have to. Shut the door. Just begin where you are. And I teach the reader about the heart of the Father. Because if you don't know who God is, you're not going to understand his character and his nature, and you'll be afraid of him. So I go into the heart of the Father. Who is the Father? What's his character? What's his nature? And then I take the reader all the way up into what I call contemplative prayer. So if you would like a wonderful resource on how to begin your prayer life, I encourage you to get this book, Encountering God Through Prayer. Go to my website at margiefleurant.org.
God anyway. You know, you train up a child in the way that they should go, and they're old. They will not depart from it. So I just was like, what is this? So for about a year, I'd be driving in my car, and a secular song would come on. I want you to show me the way. Who sings that? Come on, some of you people that are my age-ish. I want you day after day. Da, 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 da. You know that song? You know that song? Who sings it? Somebody sings it. One day I was singing it in church, and somebody told me who it was. Who is it? Eric Clapton. Ooh, you're a young one. You know that song? Wow. Oh, Peter Frampton. Yep, there you go. Thank you. See, we got it. So I'd be in my car, my baby blue Bronco with the white top that my father got me to lease, you know, because he worked for a company and I got a free car for a few months, and I'm driving in my car and that song comes on and I could feel the Holy Ghost. And this, the witness was, I don't want no man. I want you to show me the way. I didn't know the scripture that says Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody told me that. Nobody told me how to be saved. I was raised a Catholic. Jesus was still on the cross. Nobody told me he had to come into my heart, be the Lord of my life. I was lost without hope, alienated from God. Nobody told me. That's why we've got to tell them, my friends. We've got to tell them. So I went like that for about a year. Everybody say a year. This is how patient God is. And he was just watching me, and she's driving around her baby blue Bronco with the white top. And then one day, I just started to really pray and press into God, and I remembered that my mother had a Bible in the cabinet. And so I went into the cabinet, and I pulled out her dusty Catholic Bible. I dusted it off, and I opened it up unconsciously led by my spirit. Everyone say unconsciously. Unconsciously led by my spirit. There is another person who is helping us with our decision-making process. And he's leading us, and he's guiding us, and he is with us always. And I unconsciously found this Bible, and I opened it up. Of course, to the book of Psalms. Who would have known? And I just prayed out. I read the Psalms and prayed them out loud for another few months. And then after about 3 months of praying the Psalms, telling God I wanted him, telling him I needed him, one night, everybody say one night. One night. It only takes one word from God. Now, what I'm going to share with you, I just want you to know, it's very rare how he speaks in this regard. One night, I just was like, what must I do to be saved? What is it? What do I have to do to be saved? And this one night, 829 North President, Wheaton, Illinois, 60187, in the bedroom of the south of the side of the house as you face the house to the left, I heard God's voice for the first time audibly. Very rare when you hear the audible voice of God. And when you hear voices, make sure it's the right voice. Because he'll always guide you in line with the word of God. And it won't come from out here. It'll come from within. And it'll bring peace. And I heard audibly. And almost like God had an attitude. And even to this day, sometimes with me, he's got like a little attitude. He goes, only believe. And when those two words that changed my life, when I believed, I said, Lord. I didn't say Lord. I said, I didn't know to say Lord. Nobody taught me anything. I said, I believe. And when I spoke that word out of my mouth, you know, the Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. But it's with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's with the mouth. And I said, I believe. And when I believed, it was like I felt, everyone say felt. In this regard, I felt myself. I felt the love of God, Romans 5:5, now I know, being shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost, and I felt the Lord coming into me, and I felt the darkness, the thing that had so easily beset me, lifting up off of me and leaving. I didn't know it, but I had become a new creation in Christ Jesus. All things passed away. All things became new. I was born again. Because of two words that God spoke into my heart. It's the word of God and his voice that will transform your life. And then as I went on for 2 weeks, everyone listen now, I had a hunger and a desire and a longing. Everybody say hunger, desire, and a longing. That, what was that? Something on the inside. It was the Holy Spirit rising up, stirring within me. And he was saying, he didn't say it, but the hunger and the desire and the longing, in a sense, had a voice. And this hunger and desire and longing was going to propel me to search for more. You know, Jesus said, those that seek me, find me. And I, something unconsciously, I unconsciously just knew. Everyone say no. Knew. I knew that there was something more. Everyone say something more. There's something more he has for you, my friends. When you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Listen. Oh, but it's so big, Margie. Listen, my God is able to do for you exceedingly abundantly above all you could ask, hope, dream, or desire. You got to reach for the stars. And don't be afraid. Take that step of faith. He will meet you there. So I just knew that there was more. Something on the inside. And I went to this church, and they were all, like, singing in tongues, you know, just singing. We call it singing in the Spirit, something that I would love to see revived back into the church. And I said to my friend who was with me, I said, I want that. And so, you know, you just know when it's the Holy Ghost. It feels right. It senses right. It's a velvety feeling. It feels soft. It feels loving. It feels peaceful. You feel joy. It feels right. Your conscience as a believer can be a good guide for you. So at the end of the service, eventually they all prayed for us. I got in my car. I'm not going to get into the whole story. But I eventually released my prayer language, and what I realized is that the more I wanted was to be baptized in the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking with other tongues, that it was, I was saved, but it was just a separate experience, Acts 1:8, that would cause me and help me to live a more victorious Christian life. But that was the guidance and the leading of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so new things are allowed or set in motion when heaven speaks. I'm going to read this psalm to you. Listen to this. I found this last night. Everybody good? Yes. Psalms 32:8. Natalie, you don't have it. Sorry, this is how it works, and she knows. I will instruct you. And I love this part. Teach you in the way that you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. And that word teach you really stuck out to me. The Holy Spirit has to teach us how to hear his voice. And it comes through experience. It comes through, in a sense, trial and error, making mistakes. Don't be afraid to make mistakes. I'll tell you, I'd rather be behind Jesus and wait on him than way ahead of him. And if you've ever made a mistake, you have to do, I think Pastor Anthony was talking about it the other service, you just may have to recalculate, but he will eventually trust him with all of your heart, lean not to your own understanding. If you're acknowledging him in all of your ways, he will eventually get you where you need to go. Amen. He said, I will teach you, okay? Let's talk about how to tune in to heaven or how to cultivate a listening ear. Are you ready for this? This is foundational. You ready? You ready? You are a spirit. You have a soul. And you live in a body. So where do the leadings come from? In your spirit. You feel the Holy Ghost? Mm-hmm. He that is joined to the Lord is what? One spirit with him. Where do the leadings come from? Where do they reside? In your spirit. You are a spirit. You have a soul. I think the things we deal with a lot is the soul. What's the soul? The mind, the will especially, and the intellect. Which brings me to a point, your heart may say one thing, and your mind and your thoughts and your will say another. That's why it's important, if you don't know what to do, wait. If you don't know what to do, get in the presence of God. Go into your closet, shut the door, Matthew 6:6. Seek him, pray to him. Get quiet so that your heart gains the ascendancy over your will, over your soul, and over your mind. You are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. I have proof. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. Then I pray your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless to the coming of the Lord." Now they can be divided. Hebrews 4:12. "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." Amen. That's why it's important, listen to me, to invest your time into putting the word of God in your heart. Listen now. The scripture says, "He will take the things of mine and show it unto you." When you have the word of God in your heart and you need direction, what will happen is, as you tune in and develop your listening ear, he will take the word that you planted in your heart and it will come up out of you into your mind, and that's the direction that you need. Luke 11 says, "Give us this day our daily bread." It's the bread, it's the direction that you need, but it comes from the word of God. And having the word of God in our hearts and studying to show ourselves approved unto him, putting it in us, helps us to hear from God. Why? Because he has something to work with. My book, Contend, Stewarding the Hearts and Destinies of Our Children Through Prayer, is one of my most favorite projects thus far. In this book, I teach the reader how to pray effectively for their children, their grandchildren, and the rising generations that are in the earth today. Make no mistake about it, there is war over the hearts and the destinies of our children. And this book will equip you as to how to pray effectively for those young people. In this book, I teach you about the power and the purpose of praying in tongues. I show you what a prayer alert looks like. There are sample prayers. Not only that, there are outlines at the end of each chapter. So if you run a Bible study, you can use this book as a springboard to teach others how to pray for their children. Go to my website at margiefleurant.org and pick up your own copy.
Thank you so much for tuning in to today's podcast. It has been such a joy sharing this time with you. For more inspiration and resources on today's topic, please visit our website at margiefleurant.org.